Nice to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to spend the first part of our program today talking with you about planning your retirement, planning now for the life you want. Our guest today, John Nelson, from Verona, Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, he's an independent retirement planning researcher. He's a writer, he's a speaker, and he's the author with Richard Bowles of the book, What Color is Your Parachute for Retirement? It's published by 10 Speed Press. And, you know, I said in my little introduction earlier, if you are maybe in your early stages of work, or maybe you're halfway to retirement, or maybe you're almost there, maybe weeks or months away, or even days away, I think we can learn a lot from this book. And I'm really pleased to have John with us. And if you have some questions or comments, or maybe some experiences of your own to share about retirement or retirement planning, what are you doing to retire or to plan for it? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. John Nelson, welcome. Nice to have you with us today. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
You've been a consultant on a lot of employer-sponsored retirement plans and that sort of thing. I mean, give us a little of your background.
Yes. Well, the place where we learn about retirement in our culture for the most place is at work. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, some of the best places that we're doing good retirement education is in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Some companies are just wonderful places to learn about preparing for retirement and planning. Some are just starting to do that. But one way or another, we have about 76 million baby boomers who need to do that, plus Gen X and Gen Y folks. And so the workplace is pretty much where we're learning about it. And that's where my experience came from.
And yet I think in a workplace environment, this could work as well. Your book could work as well. But it's actually for anybody sitting at home wants to get a copy of the book, they can go through this process and learn quite a bit.
Yeah. The secret is it's really a retirement planning workshop between two book covers. And so you can do that on your own in your living room, or employers could use it.
And you're encouraged to write in the book.
Yes, you're encouraged.
Well, mark it up.
The best planning, of course, comes from the inside out, not the outside in. And the best way to do inside out planning is to start with yourself, do some reading, do some exercises, and figure out what's important to you rather than what's supposed to be important to you.
And there are probably a half dozen different sort of areas that you kind of highlight in your book.
Yes. Well, it's interesting because most retirement planning until now has been retirement financial planning, yeah. And that's because finances are absolutely essential, no question about that. But really, and as you know, What Color's Your Parachute is the world's best-selling career book, and retirement planning, as it turns out, is much more like career planning than it is financial planning.
Hmm. How so?
Well, if you're a young person or you're a career changer, if you're thinking about just the career that will pay you the most money, if you're focused just on the financial part of your career, that may or may not, in fact, get you into a happy, successful mode. It may or may not really result in you having the money you want. It may not motivate you. And so the truth is, when we do career planning, we start, again, from the inside out, your interests, the kind of people you want to work with, your own strengths, your own talents, the fact that it goes through time. You have early career, mid-career, late career. You change, your career changes. So it's a comprehensive way about thinking about your career that works, as opposed to what job will pay me the most. If you focus just on money, that's not good career planning. Mm-hmm. And so we're finally learning now, after many decades of thinking that retirement planning is just about money. It's not. It's like career planning and thinking about all those same areas of your life.
There were some hilarious statements that you had in your book about money, relating to money, by the way, which I thought were really funny. Things people say and then what they really mean.
Yes, yes. Well, the other thing about retirement planning mostly being about money is that we've adopted this kind of stern parental role. Both employers, the government, the media, all the folks who want us to save more for retirement are taking this stern parental tone, kind of like, you know, the eat your Brussels sprouts and save for retirement. And of course, we all know that doesn't work very well. So it's no surprise. And so, yeah, there are some sections in the book that that poke a little fun at that
pretty
approach.
Funny.
Yeah,
actually. And, you know, I found it interesting, too, the chapter before we go to the phones here, the chapter that you had on how retirement is marketed.
Yes.
Through the media. Talk about that a little bit. That was interesting.
The idea is that by starting with the inside out, determining what your own values are, your own priorities for retirement, in fact, the identity that you bring into retirement, you can come up with a retirement that fits you individually, and then you're a little more savvy about the retirement, the visions of retirement that are marketed to us. So the advertisers and marketers, of course, they're in business to make money, so they market these beautiful retirement living communities or luxury goods or travel and cruises or even anti-aging things like cosmetic surgery, that those are dangled in front of us as motivators to buy something to have a wonderful retirement. The truth is that a wonderful retirement starts on the inside, figuring out what's important to you, and then you can inoculate yourself against some of those messages.
Bob in Cambridge, thank you very much for calling. Hello.
Hi there. Through some life changes and things like that, I'm in my mid-50s and really basically are starting from scratch again here. Good thing is I enjoy my work. I never really plan to retiring because I like to work, and I never always plan on doing something throughout my life till I can't. And I do a part-time job that does give health benefits, and which I could work at that job eventually full-time virtually until I fall over. So it's a great opportunity. I get full benefits down the road. So any suggestions for my situation other than just sticking things away with and still have a life yet?
Okay.
Yeah. Bob, in fact, is a good example of how people are doing things differently today, whether out of choice or out of necessity. But this old idea about working full-time to age 62 or 65, flipping that switch, retirement's an event, and now you're collecting a pension sitting in a rocking chair, most people won't be retiring like that anymore. And they'll be a lot more like you, Bob, and figuring out how to do things in some new combination, part-time, full-time work. What does become important is that if you have to work past normal retirement age, or what we used to think of as normal retirement age, I hope you're not working just for the money, that you take the time and the trouble to find something you really want to do and is engaging, meaningful, and fun if you're going to be doing it later in life.
Definitely not for the money.
Definitely not for the money.
Okay. Good for you. Good for you. You need both, usually.
I had the kind of European attitude. I work and take my vacations now in case I can't when I'm older.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks a lot for calling. Philip in Madison, your turn. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A quick two-part question. I'm 23 years old and just became eligible to join my organization's 401k. And going through that was interesting for a first-time young person like myself, learning about how much to contribute and then the types of investment, whether you want balance, conservative, growth income, and just some suggestions on maybe entering into that on how much percentage you think is a good start, as well as maybe types of investments to look at. And then beyond the 401k, what are some good things to start and into this young?
Boy, okay, 23 years old. So we've got, we had Bob, who was in his 50s, I think, and now we've got Phil in his 20s.
Yes.
Different situations entirely.
Yes, different situations. And that brings another interesting element, because when you're in your 50s, you can design a life of which money is a part. So you can design your career, you know where you want to live, you know the people you want to associate with, what all that's going to cost. So the closer you get to retirement, the more refined that plan can be. But when you are young, in this case when you're 23, the truth is retirement planning then is mostly about money. It's about just getting started. And so it's really good to be starting in your company's 401k plan. And you can't, it's difficult to know how much money you really will need when you're getting started. So sit down, put on your seatbelt. You're not going to like this. The answer is you really should be saving about 10% of your pay in that 401k plan until you have a reason to save some other amount. So as you get farther down the road and can do some real planning about how much you need to save, until that day comes, try to save 10%, and for sure save the amount you can get an employer match on. As far as the investing goes, you have to make another inside-out decision. You have to decide if you're a money enthusiast, that is, you actually enjoy and are interested in learning about investments and other financial things, or you're not a money enthusiast. If you are, you can make a hobby out of it. You can choose your own mutual funds. You can decide what allocation is best for you. You can read the trade magazines and the consumer finance magazines, and you might enjoy it. It might be fun. If that's not you, the research shows you'll do a better job by choosing the most autopilot kind of investing you can find. Mm-hmm. And that's one where you figure out what your risk tolerance is. You choose this autopilot target date fund or life cycle fund. There are different names for them now. But if you're not an enthusiast, you will probably ignore it unless you choose one of those funds. And if you're ignoring it, you want it to be doing the work for you.
Hmm. Interesting. Thanks very much for calling. And typically, I think investment people will recommend maybe something a little more risky at the younger stages and sort of getting a little more conservative as time goes on.
Yes, and those autopilot funds are structured exactly that way, so that they they throttle back a little bit as you get closer to retirement so that they're not as volatile.
Yeah, okay. Good luck, Phil. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We're talking today with John Nelson, co-author with Richard Bowles, of What Color is Your Parachute for Retirement? If you have a question or a comment, maybe a circumstance you want to share, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. And John, you yourself have gone through some changes. You were doing a lot of, obviously, as a consultant, a lot of work as a consultant, and you've kind of haven't chucked it, but you've left it for a time to go on for a PhD.
That's exactly right, here at UW-Madison. And it's not an easy transition from being a consultant to being a student again. I can attest to that. or taking time out to write a book. But one of the things that motivated me, ironically, was knowing that I never really did want to retire, that I knew a lot about retirement, and I think retirement's a great idea for people who want to retire. But the truth is, I wanted to find something that I, like Bob, the earlier caller, would be happy doing as long as I was alive. And so I needed to get out of the heavy-duty technical side of pension consulting for companies. And for me, just the more interesting, exciting side of retirement education.
So you're into your PhD will be in the education area then?
Yes, actually, one of your favorite guests, Jerry Apps, the Wisconsin Story Fellow, is from the department that I'm in, which is adult education.
Yeah, it's a great program, and so you're kind of practicing what you preach here. Which is kind of nice.
We all make it up as we go along. We plan the best as we can, but the truth is every morning we get up and we do the best we can and make it up as we go along.
John Nelson, our guest today, co-author of What Color is Your Parachute for Retirement? I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about retirement planning now for the life you want with our guest John Nelson, co-author with Richard Bowles of What Color is Your Parachute for Retirement? Give us a call if you have a question, comment, something to add at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. By the way, how did you happen to hook up with Richard Bowles, John?
As I looked into retirement planning as a new phase, as I said, we've thought about it as financial planning for a long time. But when I thought about what else it might be and realized it was a lot like career, there's no question that Dick Bowles and the Parachute book has been the most constant and enlightening force in that career domain for a long time. So I approached him, we talked about it, and he liked my ideas, and off we went.
Off you went. Good enough. Let's go to Pat Mosini now. Hi, Pat. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you. I took an early retirement at 58, and I have many interests, and it's hard for me to decide what I really want to spend my energy on. There's just so many things I enjoy, things that are leisure or things that could lead to, you know, some part-time job or a little bit income. How do you make some choices?
Pat, that's an excellent question. And as it turns out, the latest thinking from the world of psychology about happiness and, you know, this is a different part of psychology than the area that looks at unhappiness, which is the standard. But the new research into happiness is that there are really three basic paths to happiness, or three kinds of happiness. And you mentioned one, which is just the kind of leisure, pleasure, fun thing. That's what we usually think about. But you mentioned another kind, which is engagement. Sometimes it's called flow. And that's where we have to reach inside ourselves and use a skill or a strength or something that we inject into or apply to a situation. It might, in fact, be something we could succeed or fail at, but one way or another, it requires something from us. The truth is that can be just as much a happiness generator for us as the fun, easy, leisure kind. Then the third kind, and I urge you to think about this too, the third approach to happiness is meaning, which is essentially becoming part of or contributing to something greater or outside of ourselves. And that's, in fact, distinct from the fun. It's distinct from the engagement. And for many of us, especially as we get later in life, that meaning approach to happiness is the trump card, really.
Does your book cover these areas?
Yes. What the goal is for retirement planning now is to plan not only for your prosperity or finances, and not only even for your activities or health, your activities or happiness, but also to do some health planning as well. And so the book touches on all three of those.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Pat. Appreciate it. Dennis in Sister Bay, your turn now. Hi, Dennis.
Well, hi. Does your book deal with any resources that couples can access to deal with the relationship issues that develop upon retirement? Suddenly, mom and dad are together almost 24/7 in many instances. I know of a couple, for example, the wife described the home as her castle. She had her own routine, and when hubby retired, he attacked the kitchen and began to reorganize the cabinets with gusto and just seemed to take over things. And needless to say, this couple began to experience some very difficult problems.
Yeah, Dennis, you hit the nail on the head. And in fact, I sometimes describe marriage and retirement as marriage on steroids. And that can be good or bad. What can happen is that whatever that relationship is like before retirement, it can become more like that in retirement. So if you are loving and get along well and enjoy being together, it gives you more time to do that. On the other hand, if you don't know your spouse that well because you haven't been spending much time together, because you're going in different directions, being thrown together in retirement cannot always be a smooth path. So the more time you have to think about that and to work on that before you start spending all your time together, the better off people will be. But there is a section in the book that talks about that. And the truth is that it's something you create over years and decades, not something you create just at retirement.
But what if you find yourself in that situation? What if, you know, what? How do you deal with it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I have interviewed numerous people who did focus on creating more activities outside the home, whether it was paid employment, unpaid volunteering, hobbies, creating or plugging into other social networks, because sometimes we expect that spousal relationship to do too much. That is, we expect it to be our primary social network, when the truth is it hasn't been probably for most of us. And because we lose our social network and activities from our job, we need to replace those, and those get us out of the house. They get us out of the kitchen cabinets and alphabetizing the soup cans, and just give each other some space.
Good luck. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks very much for calling. And so the book does go through a lot of that, so you might want to take a look at it. Thank you very much. Saul in Stevens Point, your turn now. Hi, Saul.
Hi, good to talk to you. I'm interested in what qualities you think are important in a financial planner.
The qualities that are important in a financial planner. There is a section in the book about that, but I'll give it to you in a really brief format, which is that there are a lot of people who are interested in investing your money for you, and that's a worthwhile thing. If you're not a money enthusiast and you need some help with that, you probably do need a financial advisor. Of course, if you're a money enthusiast, you probably would do it yourself. But In either case, financial planning is a different thing than just investment management. Financial planning is, in fact, a new profession that's emerged over about the last 30 years that looks at people in a more comprehensive, holistic way and helps them establish financial goals and reach those goals, whether they may be investment-related or not. And so because of that, I would look for someone who holds the designation as a certified financial planner to show that they have the training for that. And then secondly, while there are about 50,000 people with that designation in the U.S., certified financial planner, only about two-thirds of them belong to the professional association. So I would also want my certified financial planner to belong to the Financial Planning Association, or there's another much smaller association called the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors. So that's the training and experience as well as their ongoing active commitment to building that profession.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And you do go into quite a bit more detail in your book.
Yes.
About that. Give us a call if you have a question, a comment, or experience to share at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Talking retirement planning, what color is your parachute for retirement? Planning now for the life you want with our guest and one of the co-authors of the book, John Nelson. As a matter of fact, from Verona, Wisconsin. Becky and Nina, you're next. Hi, Becky.
Hi. I have a question. I'm 4 years away from retirement. I'm 58, and I plan on retiring at 62. So far, my payroll check has gone into the bank to pay our mortgage and real estate taxes, with just a little bit for spending money for me, about $100 a month. And our house is going to be paid for in October. My husband wants to put my payroll check into the trust fund, the state trust fund. I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. For the next 4 years, then, to bank that up. And I don't want to, but we'll take your answer.
Well, what do you want to do with it?
Well, I thought I would be able to spend it like a drunken sailor, you know, for all these years of never having my own salary to buy anything, but not really. I would probably compromise and save, you know, half.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Becky, I would actually recommend that you do an in-depth retirement income analysis with a certified financial planner, because you might be completely right. It may be that because of your long service with the state, your eligibility for a pension as well as that savings, we don't know about your husband's situation, but there's a possibility that your retirement could be well funded already, and that mm-hmm. unless you calculate the number and you actually do the work, you're really kind of just hunting around and guessing. So I'd recommend mm-hmm. you do that. One thing that you should be aware of that is just coming to light now that should play a role in those numbers that your financial planner crunches for you, though, mm-hmm. is that people are starting to realize they're going to need a lot more money for out-of-pocket health care costs in retirement than we used to think. And
uh-huh.
that's because people are living much, much longer. And just because we live longer doesn't necessarily mean we'll live healthier. That's something we have to, and the book touches on that, about how to make sure you're as healthy as possible. But what can happen is that your out-of-pocket health care costs in retirement could, in fact, be more than you would think. And that would be one reason why you might have to keep saving big time these last 4 years.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. So John's not saying that you have to put it all away, but you should sit down with a financial planner first, and maybe you can spend it all like a drunken sailor.
You may be done saving. Yes,
yeah, you
absolutely.
May be done saving. But I'd work with a certified financial planner and find that out. And frankly, doesn't cost a lot. Typically, there's an upfront meeting fee. Well, actually, the first fee is yeah. usually free, and then
there are really two ways that a certified financial planner would work with you. One would be that they provide their advice for free and are compensated on commissions from the products that you buy. And while you still can find good financial planners who work using that approach, the truth is that is the old model. it can tend to warp the advice that you get a little bit just because of human nature. And so if that's the only kind of planner that you can find, that you might find a very good one. But frankly, the new model and the model I would suggest, depending geographically where you are, if you can find a fee-only planner, then that's someone who does not earn a commission on your investments or insurance. You pay them an hourly fee like you would your tax preparer or your attorney or another professional, and it tends to be a little cleaner that way.
And, you know, for a few hundred dollars, whatever, I don't know what it'll cost, but for a few hundred dollars spent now could make a huge difference in how the next 4 years and the next 34 years, for example, might
go.
Yes,
yep. It's a matter of how much you want done. If you're just looking for a calculation on how much you need to be saving, that's a simple job. If you're close to retirement and really want a comprehensive plan, which once in a lifetime at least would not be too bad of an idea, frankly, I think that's worth a couple thousand dollars.
Thanks, Becky. Good luck. Jackie in Plymouth, it's your turn next. Hi, Jackie.
Good morning. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know, I keep hearing different numbers being thrown around about how much a person should be saving. So what is the general ballpark figure that a person, you know, I know you have to take into account your standard of living, but what would be the minimum someone should be planning to put aside? $250,000, $500,000? I don't think I'll ever make $500,000. But
you know, that's a little bit like asking what somebody should weigh.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, it's a very, very individual thing. For most of us, we really do need to do the calculation. And so what I'd recommend is for young people starting out to try to save 10%. And then once you're at least in your 40s, you should start to be doing a little bit of a calculation. Because whether you make $40,000 a year or $140,000 a year, whether you work for an employer that has a pension plan or one that doesn't, those change your number in ways you cannot imagine. So you have to do the math.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about you did hit about health. You know, so many, you just can't get health insurance when you retire. Very few of them. So,
well, you're exactly right. Health is a tricky issue because it has two parts. It has access to medical coverage, which for most of us is going to be Medicare. And then it also has our own wellness, or how we approach our lifestyle and how well we take care of ourselves, because that drives how much health care we're going to need. So preparing for retirement has two parts. It's making sure that you're eligible for Medicare, which isn't till 65. So if you're retiring at 58 or 62, you need some kind of bridge coverage because you won't be eligible for Medicare till 65. And that is a touchy, expensive thing for some folks. And then the other thing is once we all get to a point where we realize we really are going to age, we really are going to be possibly declining and becoming more frail in the future, we want to safeguard that and ideally spend the last couple decades before retirement getting healthier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Larry, have you ever thought about doing a program on possible plans in the state of Wisconsin that do that bridging for people? That would be a really interesting program if there are any out there and what they're like and the differences.
Yeah, it would be. And some of that, to some extent, you cover in your book.
Yes. If you have an employer-sponsored retiree medical plan, that's the first place that people look. If you have plenty of money, you can typically buy a personal insurance policy to cover that period, that bridge. And if you don't have retiree medical coverage and you don't have a lot of money, that's where that part-time or even full-time retirement job to provide that medical benefit might be necessary.
Yeah. Thanks, Jackie. Appreciate your call very much. If you'd like to join in, give us a call. Talking planning now for the life you want in retirement. John Nelson of Verona, independent retirement planning researcher, our guest today and co-author with Richard Bowles of What Color Is Your Parachute for Retirement? Planning now for the life you want. It's published by 10 Speed Press. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. I was trying to remember, I think at one point in the book you talk about retirement education and as opposed to gerontology.
Yes. Well, it's funny. We have a wonderful and rigorous field studying what happens to people as they age, and that field is called gerontology. It looks at the psychosocial aspects of aging as well as the biomedical aspects of aging. It's a wealth of information. The challenge is that baby boomers will always think that gerontology is about their parents and never applies to them. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge for us to get that wealth of information out into people's hands and minds where they can use it to plan the retirement that they want.
And there are a lot of people right on the verge of that retirement right now, aren't there?
Yes.
How many people are out there that are...
There are 76 million baby boomers who are in their 40s, 50s, and just turning 60.
Roger in Hudson, your turn. Hi, Roger.
Yes, hello. How are you all?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Very good. I'm 62, live in Hudson, Wisconsin, contemplating retirement and work for a company for 38 years and planning on having a fairly decent pension plan, but have money in my 401k. And I'm talking to a financial planner. He's suggesting that I put that into, there's a type of annuity that has a, I think it's called a living benefit that I think it kind of guarantees income in the future, and just wondering what your speaker thinks of something like that.
Well, Roger, one of the challenges with the term financial planner is that anyone can call themselves a financial planner, and that's why someone with that designation, a CFP, does have more training. The other challenge is that when most investment advisors are compensated on commissions, that is basically on the sales that they make, that annuities are among the highest commission investments that you can use for retirement. Some of them, in fact, are great vehicles in some situations, and some of them are legal but not, in fact, a very good idea. And so things are kind of muddy, it sounds like, in your situation, and it might well be that what you really need is a second opinion, maybe even from your CPA or from ideally a fee-only advisor, and this might be a fantastic annuity for your situation, or it might just be a fantastic commission for your financial advisor.
Okay. What's your opinion of the, I think you referred to them as the living benefit options?
Well, one of the challenges with these annuity products is that they are among the most complex products. Unlike a straight mutual fund or unlike an income-only retirement annuity where you make a single payment and receive a monthly benefit for life or for you and your spouse's life, that any type of annuity that combines some kind of mutual fund-like accounts with the potential for future monthly income as a living benefit, those products, those contracts are so complex, it's difficult to figure out if you're getting a good deal or not. And it would be a difficult thing for you to figure out over your kitchen table with the salesman.
Yeah. So a second opinion from a certified financial planner who is a fee only might be well worth your time and effort this time around, Roger.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime decision, and it's irrevocable. Whatever decision you make with your one-time retirement rollover, you'll be stuck with that decision, hopefully for many, many, many years, because you're going to live a long time. So yeah, it's worth the trouble.
Thanks, Roger. Ed in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Ed.
Hello. I've got a question about retirees being married and collecting Social Security.
Okay.
How does that, we've had things, or I've heard things in the past where people get divorced because they get more of a payment from the government for the wife and the husband versus being married and it's a combined check or benefit?
Yeah, Ed, there are not a lot of good resources on how to game the Social Security system. I'm sure that you might find some articles about how to game the system and get a little bit more. What I can tell you is that in the old days, that spouses, wives typically, received a benefit based on their husband's earnings, and more and more and more they're are in fact going to be receiving benefits based on their own time in the workforce. And so relative to your question, I don't have a good answer for you other than to observe that for many couples, the way that they ultimately end up receiving their calculated benefit is going to be different.
Oh, okay. Thanks for calling, Ed. Sue and Shano, it's your turn. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I wanted to respond to Becky, a teacher that called before, and wanted to know how much of her retired, what her last 4 years she should put away and so forth. WEAC, if Becky is a member of WEAC, we do have a financial planner that actually travels the state, and so you can make appointments with him in the summer. My husband and I have done that 3 times, I guess, over the last 30 years. Or she can also go to Madison at any time, just call WEAC and arrange for an appointment with the financial planner. I believe it's Bob Moeller, and cost-free. Certainly is no reason for her to not do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But thank you. So WEAC is the Wisconsin Education Association
Council.
Council. Correct. I was trying to remember the C, and I couldn't remember the C.
Yeah, so she can just call their office and get the information from them.
Good advice. Thanks, Sue. Thank you very much for calling. And frankly, there are the not only WEAC, but companies and institutions like the University of Wisconsin, for example, has quite a bit of help in the retirement area.
Yes, and there is really a distinction that good employers provide some type of retirement counseling about their own benefit structure. So if they have a pension plan, 401k plan, they may be able to give you some good help about understanding that, retiree medical, and so on. The good news is that there's actually a trend of more employers providing at least some access to more comprehensive education or planning, which allows people to look not just at their benefits from the employer, but to connect up with someone to do comprehensive retirement and financial planning. So that would be a broader way of helping them prepare for retirement.
Yeah. Well, John, it's a real pleasure. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Your book has got a lot of good information, and as we were talking about in the beginning, mark it up right in there. I mean, it's designed for that.
Absolutely. If you do buy a copy, obviously, if you borrow it from the library,
don't
write in it. But if it's your copy, write all over it, please.
Thanks, John. Thanks very much. John Nelson, co-author with Richard Bowles of What Color Is Your Parachute for Retirement? Planning Now for the Life You Want. It's published by 10 Speed Press, and I'm pretty sure you can get a copy of that anywhere. Go to any of your bookstores. Go to your local bookstore and order, or you can order online. There's lots of different ways to get a copy of it. Appreciate him being with us today. Well, what's the weather like out there? We're going to find out. I can't see outside right now, so I'm not sure. John Martin knows. He just came in, chair of the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. He'll be joined by phone by Professor Steve Ackerman, and we'll talk climate and weather coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.